So, Ken, welcome. Thank you for giving the time to have this conversation.
Yeah, of course.
It is a new season in faith walking, right? We are stepping into a new time, new space for faith walking. We had Jim, and we love Jim. And Jim is not part of a fully active staff of faith walking now, and but faith walking continues, and there's something so that brings so much life about it. You know, it's not about one person; it's about a community. It's about many other things, and now we have Ken. You know, you have been invited into this place, this leadership of faith walking, and we think I would love to ask you a couple of questions about it. So,
sure.
And the idea is that people get to know you, right? I think that is important, right? We we work on transformation, and part of our values is authenticity and getting really to know. I mean, this is being present to who Ken is in faith walking in this season. So,
sure.
So I'd love to ask. I'm going to start with a very general question. You know, faith walking, you are a faith walker, you're a teacher, you're a coach, you have mastered a lot of this, but if I ask you, why do you think faith walking is relevant? Why do you think faith walking is important? What is the space that faith walking has in this big picture of the world in 2018?
Yeah.
What would you say?
Yeah, that's a great question, Marcos, that is really important for me because I believe faith walking addresses an issue that there aren't very many entities addressing. We see it in a variety of ways. We see it in road rage, but we live in a reactive culture, a culture that's highly anxious, that's reactive. Another way to put it is I believe that all of us have triggers. And those triggers get pushed, and we behave in ways that are less than healthy often. And it impacts our marriages, it impacts our families, it impacts our neighborhood, it impacts where we work, it impacts our community, our government, it impacts the world, the way we behave. And what I'm convinced of is that if we can learn what those triggers are about, and if we can begin to live differently in spite of those and put those wounds behind us, that we can actually impact the world. And I realize it's really slow and it's one person at a time, but I'm convinced that that's what faith walking does. Yeah. It's a slow process of transformation, but with every moment of growth, we're changing the world together.
Well, and I think it's a very graphic description, you know, this idea of a reactive society. I mean, I think that is immediately everybody can grasp. We all have an experience of that. And it's so interesting because we are more connected than ever, right? With technology, everybody has a voice, right? Either Twitter, Facebook, or whatever, social media. It seems that part of the reactivity is because we're more present to the opinion that everybody has about everything,
right?
But the way that we are suffering, you know, there are many positives about it, but it is because we become reactive, right? There is this reaction to your opinion.
We become reactive, Marcos, and then we don't follow Jesus fully.
Yeah.
I can follow Jesus pretty well when I'm calm, collected, and thinking clearly. But when I get anxious and I'm not thinking clearly and I react, then I don't follow Jesus very well. I'm convinced that our reactivity, our triggers, keep us broken. There's no wholeness in our lives because of these things. And it keeps our world broken. And we love in faith walking the word integrity, and one of the meanings of the word integrity is workability. And I would say also that when I'm reactive, my life isn't working the way it's supposed to work. My family isn't working the way it's supposed to work. And our world isn't working the way it was supposed to work. And I believe thus far, and I use these words all the time, I believe that wholeness and workability are God's design.
Yeah.
And I believe, to say it another way, when as the Lord's Prayer invites us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When the kingdom comes, there will be wholeness and workability. There'll be wholeness in every life, and there'll be workability for everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I believe.
Yeah, I love it. And wholeness, workability, you know, we talk about shalom. And, the design of God, and that is so appealing. That is the pull for this world. It, like, pulls us, propels us into the work, right? And and the reactivity, in the language, is the impact, right? Of my reactivity. It seems to me, and this is a good point. I don't have time, because I can relate with what you're saying, you know. So I wake up every morning wanting to be the best version of me that I can, right? That is truth about myself. Mm-hmm. But something happens, and I'm reacting most of the day. And I don't have time to collect myself. I don't have time to remember who I want to be. And the only thing that I'm present, probably, for some of us, at the end of the day, is that I wasn't
right.
who I wanted to be. And that is completely reflects that brokenness, mm-hmm. you know. And that has an impact in all the relationships in my life, right? And
what that reminds me of, Marcos, is one of the foundational principles of faith walking, which is we don't believe that information by itself transforms. So you can know, okay, I need to be better. But then I'm in the midst of my bad day, I'm not thinking about that. And so I've begun to say it this way, that information doesn't transform, but that informed practice transforms. As we practice the right principles over and over, they become part of our unconscious competence, and we live the life we choose to live without, and it becomes where we don't have to think about it. But first, we have to think about it over and over, and that makes it hard, and it makes it slow.
Yeah, that's great. And I think it's a great way to put this, I mean, the second question you're already answering, but okay, so it's a great point. There is a reactive society, and we need help. Right, we need help, and faith walking comes as one of the things that God is doing, you know, to bring this help. It's a process. It's a group of people. There is information. There is practice. There is informed practice. I like that a lot. How do you think, if you have a couple minutes to say, so how faith walking helps me in this reactive society? What it does?
Yeah. Well, I think what it does is it helps you become aware of all of the things that trigger you, whether that's your shame voice, whether that's anxiety, whether that's the vows and wounds of your first formation, all of our faith walking language.
Yeah.
We become aware of those, and then we get coaching. We get someone to walk alongside us and help us think about, okay, what is the right principle to apply here? How do I need to be thinking about these things? And so coaching is vital to what we do in faith walking because it is that informed practice.
Yeah.
And so it's two components. We want people to have the right information that helps them. And part of that is that awareness. Part of that is learning about anxiety, learning about differentiation, learning about how to manage my anxiety. Yeah. It's all of that information, but then it's also the coaching that helps me practice that information.
Yeah.
So it's that cycle of information, practice, and then reflect on my practice so that then I can get better. And over time, what is at first really difficult and is conscious competence becomes unconscious competence the more I practice it.
Yeah, that's great. So, information, practice, reflection. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's as a cycle, coaching, awareness. It seems that there are so many pieces, right?
There are a lot of pieces.
Relate to all of them, but and in that practice is kind of getting eyes to see myself, right? Because that's the problem. Sometimes I don't get time to do it, right?
I love football, Marcos, and my first dream job was to be a football coach. And football coaches, one of the first things they have to do is to teach people the basics, the fundamentals of the sport. And then they have to teach them the right plays. And I think what faith walking does is we teach people the fundamentals and the right plays for how to live a successful life, the fully alive life, if you will, that many people aren't even aware that they don't know.
And so,
it's really powerful.
And in our work, and this is a question that comes, I think it's very relevant for many people, right? So there's a lot of practice and awareness. There's a lot of systems thinking. There's a lot of if you want, modern things, right? And that are very helpful. I believe that they are tools that we have been given to be better, right? To show up better, to reflect God better. But one of the questions that I get often is, so what? Where is God in all of that, right? You mentioned wholeness and workability, right? You know, reclaiming wholeness and workability, establishing and reclaiming wholeness and workability. But if you are asked that question, I bet you have been. Right. So where's God? How is how this overlaps, how this embeds with what God is doing, with the role of God in our lives?
Of course. Great question, Marcos. I think I would answer that a couple of ways. One is that, as I began a while ago, I believe God's design is wholeness and workability.
Yeah, we started there.
That this is God's intent, that this is God's desire, is that every individual, every community, and the world work according to God's design, which is it's whole, they are whole, and it works. The other thing that I think I would say is I believe deeply in missional theology. And in missional theology, we say it's our role to partner with God in what God is doing in the world. And so one of the ways I say that is, and missional starts in me. So I partner with God in what God is doing in me to reveal to me my broken places, so that those places can be made whole, to reveal to me the places in my life that aren't working, so that those can begin to work together. And what I'd love is for God to just zap me and all those things be fixed. But God doesn't work that way. God works with me, and I work with God. And what I believe is that's God's intent. And so I believe God's at work in all of this. I believe God's at work in every one of us as we do this work. God is revealing. And showing us so that then we can do something about it when we see it, which is why the reflective life is so important. Because reflection is about pausing, stopping, slowing down enough to hear what God has to say deep within me, either through my own intuition, my own thoughts. But I believe that's God at work. I believe that's the Spirit alive in me. Bringing me and moving me toward wholeness, and I believe God does that for every person.
So that's
where I believe God's at work.
I love it. It's such a refreshing way to talk about mission, right? Even the word mission is like, okay, what do you mean with that? You know, a trip or a project or what about restoring? What about reclaiming? What about establishing wholeness and workability?
I believe that is God's mission. Marcus, so I believe that mission starts in me.
Yes.
Reclaiming wholeness, establishing workability. Yeah. But then as that work is being done, so not after that work is being done, I don't get perfect and then I go do it.
Yeah.
As that work's being done, then I move out of myself into my family, into my community, into my workplace, into the world. And I begin looking for, okay, where is God at work out there pointing out places where, hey, this is broken. This area of society and culture isn't working the way it should work. And I begin to reclaim wholeness. We've kind of put it on the shelf. We've said, oh, wholeness is impossible. So reclaiming for me is this idea we're going to go after it again. We're going to recapture shalom and all that shalom encompasses, which is peace, soundness, completeness, wholeness, all of those things. And we do that in the places where we live, work, and play.
I love that. I mean, because it is spacious in my mind. You know, it is, as you say, is not linear. First me, and then, okay, so I have to be fully transformed. So it is actually constant. And you know, it is in me, and it is through me, right? It is outside of me, but through me. You know, I naturally, I lean a lot towards the mission practice, spiritual practices, the contemplative life. That's kind of my cup of tea, right? Mm-hmm. And I find that that is exactly there is a space for that. So that is the wholeness. I could say the wholeness and workability in me. Mm-hmm. It is this intimacy, right? But it is not only that, right? This is for the sake of something else. That is not the only thing either. So right. It is a spacious, and I believe it's grace, right? It's grace that propels us. It's grace that makes us learn, you know, because part, one of the things that we have or we hold dear as a core value is that it is about learning, mm-hmm. right? So there is grace to fail.
Absolutely.
And
I am, and we will, because we continue to be, there are continuing to be places of brokenness. What I believe, Marcos, is that we must give ourselves grace, because I believe God gives us grace, because I believe it's as we try and we fail that our brokenness gets revealed. You know, there's a piece here that's not yet whole. Well, how am I going to know that until I come face to face with it?
I am called to see the big log in my eye, right?
Right.
And then I'm also called to be the light of the world, right? And all of this is wholeness. All of this is the sign of God. That's great. So let me ask you a question now that I'm going to change.
Okay.
Change worlds, if that makes sense. I want to ask you probably that is something that is more personal. So it's about Ken. Right, so faith walking comes out of a long history of learners, of people believing first in Houston, right? It started in the context of a city and loving God and loving the city and loving the church and trying to learn what brings transformation. I mean, that's an easy, very simple way of putting it. And faith walking has had a lot of sources, right, to where we are today, right? And I could make the case that Ken comes into this because has been connecting with all of that, and that's part of your story. I know a little bit part of that story of the beginning of Mission Houston at some point, the prayer summits with pastors and this deep desire to see God at work in the city and all the learning that came out of it. I could see that from the outside, but I'd love to ask you, what is the insider perspective? What is the view from Ken? So how is that you see yourself now invited, jumping into this space of leading faith walking? How that happens? How do you see that?
Yeah, great question, Marcos, that I could spend the rest of the day answering, to be quite honest with you. The beginnings of my ministry career were as a pastor. So God has been at work in leading me toward this for a long time. I've had opportunities to be a leader, to be the point leader. I've also had opportunities to be on a team of leaders. And I think the other thing that's important, I mean, you alluded to it, is that I've partnered with Jim Harrington for a number of years. I felt called to that, by the way. And I was there for the beginning of Mission Houston. I was there before Mission Houston with Leader's Edge. That was part of really faith walking, I believe, is at least the latest iteration of the culmination of what that's about. Who knows where we'll be. I think the best thing I would say is I believe that everything I've done in my life has prepared me for this moment. I also believe that the internal work that I have been engaged in as a result of faith walking, some other things similar to faith walking, have equipped me better to do this work. I tell people often, if I had been called to this 15 years ago, I wouldn't have been ready. Because there were issues in me that would have prevented me from showing up as a closer version of my best self. I'm not saying my best self is here yet, but I believe I have the toolkit. I shared with our executive team this last week that every morning I look at my guiding principles and remind myself of what I'm living into. Every morning, I have a list of 10 characteristics of a leader that I remind myself of, and remind myself that these are the things that I want to be implementing, that I want to lead us. In the midst of all that, Marcus, I feel like I'm called to this. I love the work of faith walking. I'm not doing this just because I fell into it. I believe in this work. I believe we are changing the world. I also love leadership. I've been a student of leadership for 25 years. I just feel good about this opportunity that I've got an opportunity to lead a ministry, and I'm excited about it because I think we together are changing the world and are going to change the world.
Yeah, that's great. It's great to know, having that little window to the internal journey, right? Yeah. Because that's what we talk about in faith walking. And, and what I like, I'm a bit an insider, not completely into Keynes, but into faith walking, you know. And what I know, and I just affirm probably what some of the things that I feel you're communicating, none of us is trying to generate a great career here. And I interview for this position, and really this is something that has taken us sort of by surprise, which has a lot of, I mean, surprise and not surprise. You just mentioned now, I believe everything in my life has led me here. But in other ways, it's a surprise. It's not a career path that you say, okay, first then that, because things were not there.
Right.
But suddenly, you know, here we are. We are living this journey as much as the people who give us the honor to walk with them in their journey, the participants of Faith Walking, we're living it. And I love that. I love that it's fresh, it's real.
Yeah.
You know, in many ways, I think you will be doing this with or without Faith Walking.
Yeah,
because it's part of who you are. And
That's so true, Marcus. So true. I hope that we can help Faith Walking to have long-term sustainability. Because I believe it's so important and it's so helpful. But you're exactly right. With or without Faith Walking, I'm going to be doing this work because I believe in it so much.
Isn't that an interesting paradox? At least it is for me. Because this work is not about Faith Walking. It's about people's lives, God's work in each person and journey, and somehow this accumulation of a hope for wholeness and workability, right? That is really for God's heart for the world. But then there is this work is also about faith walking, because this is the context we have been given, the possibility to have a process that during 10 years already, has proven not successful in our great intelligence, but God is using this in many ways. I keep listening story after story, week after week. People I'm coaching, or people who for some reason connect and tells about the impact that the faith walking that God has done in their lives through faith walking. So. Okay, well, one last question, Ken. What would you say? I'm very aware that this video probably is going to be watched mainly by the faith walking community. I'm sure it's going to be there also for other people who somehow are interested. But what would you tell them? You know, what would you tell people who are the faith walkers, or people who are kind of looking into faith walking? How can they engage? What is the invitation?
Marcus, the first thing I would say is if they're praying people, we need them to pray for us. We need God's wisdom. We need God's provision. And we need God's guidance. So put us on your daily prayer list. Pray for faith walking. I know I need it. I know you need it. I know we need it. And so I would say that. The second thing I would say is that For everybody out there, keep your transformation alive. Don't let it die. Do whatever you need to do. Get re-engaged. go do a course a second time, become a coach, whatever it is, keep your transformation alive because it's too important and it's too worthwhile to let it die. A third thing I would say is tell the faith walking story. Invite people in to take this course. Not for us, so that we have a good group in a 101 we did, but for them, for the world, for their community, because they're going to go back as change, different people. Yeah. And they're going to change their congregations. Yeah. They are going to change their places of business. They're going to change their families and their neighborhoods. Yeah. And ultimately, we together will change the world if they'll do that. So share it. Tell the story. Yeah. Talk about it. I think the final thing that I would mention, and I know we never like to talk about the money side of it, but we need people to give.
We
need financial resources.
Yes.
One of the biggest issues for faith walking is long-term financial sustainability. And I just encourage those that already give, I say, thank you so much. We wouldn't be here today having this video without you. But we need you to continue.
Yes.
We need new people to step up and give whatever they can give.
Yeah.
We need people to say, we're going to invest in this because we believe it's important, and we believe it's a big deal.
Yeah.
I think those are the four things that come off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other opportunities maybe to volunteer with some things that we're not ready to talk about. I think what I would say in closing, Marcos, is I'm beginning to use a little tagline that says, faith walking is changing the world, one transforming person at a time. And so come join us in that journey of changing the world, one transforming person at a time.
That's great, Kim. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.